there is one thing better than going to heaven, and one thing worse than going to hell. And if you don't know what that is, when I finish tonight, you will know. As I have thought about this assignment and prayed about it, I believe that I have an opportunity for us tonight to do something of substance. And I hope that you have your Bible. As a matter of fact, if you have your Bible, why don't you just hold it up? Because I want to make sure I'm in the right place. I want to make sure I'm not in some kind of denomination where people just fold their arms and listen to other people talk and they don't read for themselves. Amen. Amen. Now you're going to need your Bible tonight. Amen. In fact, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to take a walk with Jesus. And so if you came tonight for death by lecture, or if you came tonight to fold your arms to see what somebody was going to say to try to impress you, you can grab your stuff and go now because you're in the wrong session. This is going to take your ultimate attention and your focus, and you're going to need your Bible. Because tonight I want you to walk with me as we walk with Jesus and as we pay particular attention to what he says and what he does. Because when we do that, we will learn. And having said that, I invite your attention to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. And tonight you're going to have the thrill of seeing Jesus. You're probably sitting there tonight saying, well, I already seen Jesus. Okay, well, we'll see if you really have. And from this text in Luke chapter 19, we're going to look at the difficulties associated with seeing Jesus. Then we're also going to talk about the dedication required to see Jesus. And then finally, we're going to talk about the delight of seeing Jesus. And so at the conclusion of this study, it's going to have to be more than just, you know, that was a pretty good Bible study. No, there will be some action required from me and from you, because I'm already under conviction. Do you hear me? I'm already under conviction. Now, when I get convicted, I get a little loud. So those of you who are sitting in the back are probably safe. Luke chapter 19, I'm studying with you tonight from the New American Standard Translation of Scripture, where the Bible says at verse 1, he entered Jericho and was passing through. So this is where we're going to join the throng that's traveling with Jesus on his way to Jericho. We are now 4 months away from Calvary. And if I had the time, I would back up to chapter 18. I'm going to show a little discipline tonight and not do it. But in chapter 18, as he is beginning his pass-through, he already has had an experience with blind Bartimaeus. You already know about that. But now, he is in Jericho. He took care of blind Bartimaeus on the way into Jericho. But now he's in Jericho and he is going to stop at one specific spot for one specific purpose for one specific person. Don't miss that. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. And he was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. The only time in the New Testament narratives that you will find the description chief tax collector is ascribed to Zacchaeus. He is the Don Corleone of taxation. Here is a man who ratted out his own people. Here is a man who went to the Roman government and said, look, I got some money and I want to buy those licenses so that I can collect taxes on your behalf. And I'm sure the Romans said, yeah, man, we'd love for you to do that because this is what we're looking for. And he said, yeah, I can do that. Yeah. So he goes to his own countrymen knowing what the Romans required, probably 10 or 15%, but when Zacchaeus finished with them, it was about 30%. And that went in his pocket. And that's why he was called a publican. They were held in such derision, they could not even stand to call them a tax collector. He was called a publican. He was called a fink. He had ratted out his own people. And he was rich. But you know, you can be rich in one aspect and poor as Job's turkey in another. Because the next verse in my Bible says, Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was and was unable because of the crowd, for he was small in stature. Now, this verse is loaded. This verse is loaded. Here is a man who is rich. Here is a man who was probably affluent. Here was a man who could probably get whatever he wanted, but something was missing in his life. You know people like that, and so do I. Anybody tonight who doesn't have Jesus in their life, I don't care where they live. They could have three properties in Palm Beach. They're lost. Here is Zacchaeus. Here is a man who is the chief tax collector. He has people bringing him money. He has a passive revenue stream that would blow all of us away. But there is something missing in his life, and that's why he wants to see Jesus. Remember now, we're walking with the Christ tonight.
That's right.
You and I are walking with Jesus. We have to be paying attention. And as Luke paints this picture of who Zacchaeus is, don't miss that. Here is a man who is so rich, he gave new meaning to the 1%. He is the quintessence of 1%.
Yes.
But he's miserable. You know, just because you live in a gated community don't mean you're happy. You know, somebody says, well, yeah, I don't want the money. Well, give it to me and let me try. I mean, Abraham was rich. Abraham was rich. He is the father of the faithful. But that was not Zacchaeus's situation. This man is in a completely different situation. Something is going wrong with him. And that's why he wants to see Jesus. But he was unable because of the crowd. You know, I'm sure that as sharp as Zacchaeus was, he probably had figured out the route that Jesus was going to take coming through Jericho. He probably knew just where to stand, but by the time Zacchaeus got there, it was too late. The crowd had already formed. You know, when I was at Lipscomb as the dean, I stopped going to basketball games because those students stood the whole time. I'm too old for that. I mean, I had bought one of those fine cushiony seats that you sit down and, you know, I felt like a trucker when I sit in that thing, but I couldn't see anything because they stood up. I said, hey, y'all need to move. You think they turned around and said, who are you talking to me? They didn't. They stood the whole time. I told my wife, I said, Shorty, we will not be coming back to any more of these games unless you get way down on the front. And here is Zacchaeus' second problem. It's just not the crowd. It's his own physical stature. There's not a thing he could do about being vertically challenged. Not a thing. All of that money that he had, he should have said, hey, y'all get out of the way. But he knew better than that. He'd have probably ended up in a ditch. So now he's stuck. And many of your friends and my friends are stuck too. In their heart of hearts, they want to see Jesus. They want to know who Jesus is. But the crowd is there. And it's so easy to say, well, I guess I'll let it go because I can't get around. I can't get through. And look at me, look at my circumstance, man. I'm all messed up. But not this man. your Bible says, so he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree in order to see him, for he was about to pass through that way. When I was stationed in England, I was told on several occasions that gentlemen do not run. I said, really? It said, yes, Bill, gentlemen do not run. I said, have you ever read your New Testament? What? I said, I'm not speaking Chinese. I ask you, have you read your New Testament? Have you read Luke 15? Because God will run.
Amen.
And I will run too. And so did Zacchaeus. He was not going to let anything or anyone stop him from seeing Jesus. He wasn't going to do it. Don't forget that. I am so proud of him. See, we read this, but I really don't know if we read this. Because here in West Palm Beach and Riviera Beach, y'all don't know anything about corrupt politicians. All of your politicians are, you know, they're all on the up and up. And they don't mean you harm here in this area. So it's hard for y'all to get your head around the fact that here is Don Corleone. I mean, the second coming of Napoleon. Running in front of them, running in front of them, and climbing up into a sycamore tree. Now, that had to have been one of the most incredible sights ever. So don't miss that. Here is a guy that's hated and despised and probably should have been relegated to the hottest part of hell because of what he'd done to people. But that man could have cared less what anybody thought. He was going to see Jesus come Hades or high water. And he climbed up into the sycamore tree. Thank God for the tree that had the low hanging limbs so that he could hoist his little short self up there. Because that's what he did. And he waited on the Christ. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him gladly. See, I have to stop right there. Why did Jesus pass through Jericho? He could have gone outside of Jericho. Jesus passed through Jericho for one man. Are we listening if you're a soul winner tonight? And the one man that Jesus came after was the most hated and despised person probably in the whole population. And as I've read this and thought about it, as Zacchaeus' heart must have just been pounding in its chest. As the gaggle came closer and closer and closer, and then Jesus looked up and called him by name. Aren't you grateful that that is your Savior? Aren't you grateful he didn't say, hey, you little short, sawed-off rascal, I know what you've been doing. Come down out of that tree. Aren't you grateful he didn't say that? He called the man by his name. I'm sure when Zacchaeus went to bed that night, if he was married, he told his wife, honey, he called me by my name. Did he really, darling? Honey, I'm telling you, girl, I almost fell out the tree, but he called me by my name. Well, how did he know your name? That's Jesus. Jesus knows everything about everybody. And as we're standing and as we're watching this whole thing, because, you know, Luke had to write this by inspiration. I'm just wondering what they were learning. I'm wondering what have I learned so far. Here was a man who wanted to see Jesus so bad. The scriptures are silent as to why he wanted to see him. It doesn't matter why he wanted to see him. He wanted to see him. I wonder how he felt when he got up that morning. I wonder if he knew in his heart of hearts that he would have an opportunity to look right in the eyes of the Savior of the world.
That's right.
And Jesus looked up at him and said, "You need to come down, man, because I need to go to your house, have some pork chops, whatever it was." Doesn't matter what it was. You can read through your entire New Testament, and I can't find any other time when Jesus imposed himself on anybody, but he did with him. I think Jesus was saying to Zacchaeus, "Hey, look, you may count them dollars and pennies, but I'm telling you what to do. You're going to take me to your house and you're going to like it." And then, verse 7, when they saw it. Now, you know, here it is. Good old church folk. Now, you can't leave them out. When they saw it, they all began to grumble. I love that word. I mean, in the original language, it gives off the sound of buzzing bees, whining and mumbling and murmuring. I know y'all don't know anything about that in South Florida, but I know about it. I know about that in Jacksonville. He has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. Zacchaeus, you're a sinner. That's what the crowd said. And then to Jesus, they said, "You know what? You ain't got no business hanging out with him." The crowd knows everything, don't they? That's why when our young people in Jacksonville, when I tell them, do yourself a favor. If you can't lead, don't go. Well, Brother Davis, I want to win some people for Christ. Well, you can win them for Christ. You don't have to act like them to win them for Jesus.
Amen.
Bring them to the assembly. Bring them to your house. Let them eat some of your mama's cooking.
Yes.
Go see a decent movie. Look at Netflix in the presence of adults.
That's right.
You don't have to get down in the gutter with them. I know they talk about you because you're pure and you're chaste and they make fun of you. Well, let them make fun of you. You do what's right. Let your light shine. And God will draw people through you as long as you lift up the Christ. Yeah, they begin to grumble. See, because they forgot that through their grumbling, they actually showed what was in their own hearts. They didn't care about the fact that here is a guy who was about to come into the very presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They could have cared less. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord. Now, I love this. See, because if that had been me, I would have came down and said, "Jesus, just a minute. Let me tell all y'all something." But see, that's not what Zacchaeus did. When you are convicted by the Christ, you turn your attention to him and later for what everybody else says. He turned his face to the Lord. I know you saw that, but I just wanted you to know I saw it too. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions." Well, I thought he was in the 1%. Used to be in the 1%. But when you have a direct confrontation with the Christ, the first thing that's converted is your pocketbook. That's the first thing. Not the last. It's the first thing. You know why a lot of people are going to end up knocking the bottom out of hell? It's going to be because of covetousness. Yeah, I didn't get an amen on that, but that's why I brought my own. I know too many people who have too much stuff and they think that that constitutes their life, and it doesn't. We are just drowning in an ocean of cream in these divided states of America. God has blessed all of us with so much. And he says, "Bill, how much you gonna give me?" "Well, Lord, I'll give you this dollar." You know. "Well, Bill, can you just let it, would you let it out of your hand? You know, would you?" We're just, let me tell you, man, that there is nothing that will kill your soul quicker than being stingy.
That's right.
And inhospitable with what God has blessed you with. Who told Zacchaeus to give half of his possessions? See, that's what happens when you come in contact with the Christ. That's why I'm telling you, we have an opportunity to stand and to watch the entire proceeding. You want to be a soul winner? You want to revive your heart for the lost? We need to read this text.
Amen.
We not only need to read this text, we need to inculcate what it teaches. Somebody says, well, why are you screaming? Because I'm convicted, that's why.
Amen.
He said, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give. The original is stronger than that. He said, I am giving. You didn't have to fill out a pledge card. Elders didn't have to come over and say, hey, man, how much you going to give? He didn't have to do that. His heart was already opened. And when he said, I know y'all noticed this, but I saw this too. Half of my possessions, not what I extorted, half of my possessions. Now we're really getting down to the nitty gritty. And I just wonder what the crowd thought after he said that. But he wasn't through yet, was he? And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much. He just eclipsed every Old Testament command. And Jesus said to him, today, salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. When you walk with Jesus and you see how he turned his eye on the unlovely, the unseemly, the people that nobody would give a rip about, that's the one that Jesus goes after. And I've often wondered what the night must have been like for those disciples as they tried to process this interaction,
yes,
that Jesus had with Zacchaeus. He had just told them previously in chapter 18, now, we're going to Jerusalem, and I'm going to offer myself. I'm going to die, but after 3 days, I'm going to be raised. They had no clue about what Jesus was saying. But they were still with him. They were trying their best to be disciples of the Christ. And so, let me put my little red ribbon on what I've said so far tonight by telling you that all of us have a sycamore tree. I have mine, and you have yours. And I would say to you tonight that whether it's restoring the joy of your salvation, whether it's trying to find out why you're not sharing your faith, I challenge you tonight to get up in your sycamore tree and look for Jesus.
Amen. Amen.
Because when you get up in your sycamore tree, and it's yours, it's not mine. See, when I'm in my sycamore tree, let me tell you what the crowd tells me. I should charge y'all extra for what I'm about to say. First of all, they say, you're nothing but an Oreo. You're black on the outside, Bill, but you're white on the inside. What's happened to you? Nobody's going to listen to you. You've lost your mind. You've become acculturated. What is wrong with you? And then they really get ugly and say, I know where you were born. I know what city you were born in. You're from Snyder, Texas. One red light. And maybe two stop signs. You'll never amount to anything.
Yeah.
Now, when you decide that you're going to listen to the crowd and you come down out of your sycamore tree and you look around, the only perspective that you're going to have is the crowd because you can't see. So you're going to have to decide, let them talk. I'm going up in my sycamore tree because I want the position and I want the perspective to see Jesus for myself.
Amen.
That's what I want. It's got to be your tree. See, I can't climb up in my mama's tree. I'd love to climb up in my mama's tree, but my mama has done some things by faith that I still don't believe. But she's done them. And she's told me, hey, look, one of these days, baby, you'll find out what it's like when you get out on that limb. I said, well, Mom, I don't know if I want to get out on that limb. She said, one day you will. And y'all have been out on that limb. When all around you, the crowd was saying, well, child, this ain't looking good. I don't know what you going to do. I mean, that's what the crowd says.
Amen.
What does the Christ say?
Amen.
I'm telling you tonight, the only way that you're going to see Jesus for yourself is to get up in that sycamore tree. And when you get up in that tree, as I close, how much time do I have left?
Oh, you got 15 more.
Woo, I got 15 more minutes. Oh, boy, it's really finna get good now. See, when you get up in that sycamore tree, I used to think that seeing Jesus was the best. That's not the best. It's when he sees. It's when he sees you.
Yes.
And he calls your name. Dan, you've been preaching too long at PBL. You got to cut down on those sermons. Stop going from an hour and a half. No, you know, he won't say that. But I tell you what he will do. He'll call Dan by name.
Amen.
You know why? Because Dan is a child of the King. And you know what he'll do for you when you're in your sycamore tree? He'll call you by name. And I told you earlier that when you see Jesus in this light, when you come down out of your sycamore tree, you can't sit. See, that's the problem in the Lord's church today. We have too many who have decided that they're going to come and sit. And you're going to let your elders and your preachers do your personal work. They can't do your personal work. You were saved to serve. You were saved to draw the people in your life. When I got this assignment, I had to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to tell you why. We have been talking too long in the brotherhood, brothers and sisters, about sharing our faith. Our denominational friends have become more evangelistic than us. They don't even have a message. They'll knock on your door Saturday morning, get you up out your bed, talking about, hey, you want a watchtower? I said, man, I'm gonna watch you. Get off my stoop. What are you talking about? And somebody says, well, you know, Brother Davis, you know, you're going to have to be careful because you hurt these people's feelings. Let me tell you something. I would rather have my feelings hurt now than for Jesus to tell me on the last day, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We either have the truth or we don't. If what you have has saved your soul and you're not sharing it, then all of us need to be on the front row.
Amen.
Somebody says, well, now you've gone from preaching to meddling. You know, I go places and preach God's word, and then people tell me out in the foyer, well, you know, Brother Davis, I just want you to know that you just stepped all over my toes today. So, man, let me tell you something. God's word doesn't shoot that low. Maybe you need to go see your podiatrist. You know. God shoots for the heart.
Amen.
And when we are convicted, when we are touched in our soul, we'll do more than talk.
Amen.
I got to thinking a couple of weeks ago about all the people that my mom and Dan used to sit around the table in my mom's house and talk to. It was bunches of them. And many, many, many others. If I knew your name, I'd call your name. But I'm just saying, why do they do that? You think they do that just to fill in a box? You can't do that just to fill in a box. But when you know the truth about yourself, when you know what God has saved you from, you'll be more than happy to share the unsearchable riches from His Word. Let me close by giving you some points that mean a great deal to me. And then I will be within the confines of the time and we'll call it a day. Jesus must be the priority of my life. I didn't say He should be. He must be. In Matthew chapter 6, when you study that text beginning at verse 33, but seek ye first, you know, we can quote that, can't we? Jesus is saying, well, Bill, I'm waiting on you to live it. Don't quote it. Live it. Amen. Seek ye first doesn't mean to seek Jesus as a 1-2-3 proposition. That's not what that word means. It means to seek Him from a priority perspective. If you would envision a bicycle tire, and right in the middle of that tire, you've got that nut. And then from that nut, you've got all those spokes that come off. Yeah. Jesus is the center. And then all of those blessings, all of those spokes that come out from the center is the way He blesses us. But you know what I've done in times past? I've put Jesus on the back burner until I need something. And then when I need to, oh, Lord, please help me. See, Bill, I've been helping you. Didn't you open your eyes this morning? I was a part of that. And then when you didn't go to the midweek assembly, I was a part of that. I could have snuffed your life out just like that. But I chose not to, Bill, because I believe that there is good in you. I believe that I could make something out of you if you would but only surrender to me. Amen. Well, Lord, you know, I'd like to surrender, but could I do it after Christmas? You know what our collection does during the month of December? I mean, it gets so low, we can't even count the numbers. But I bet if I was to look through your window and look under your tree. I don't mean you. I mean other people. I mean, y'all don't have it. See, I don't mean you. I mean other people that struggle with stuff like this. So I'm just saying that Jesus must be the priority in our life. Would you turn very quickly to John 15 and look at the last half of verse 5? Here is a point that we lose in the English translation, but it's a word that you say a lot. It's the word nothing. You know, without me, you can do nothing. That's what Jesus says at the end of verse 5, John chapter 15. But you know, the more stronger understanding of what Jesus says is that without me, you can do no thing. That's what he's talking about. Because everybody's doing their thing, aren't they? Man, I got to get my college degree because I got to get after my career. And then, well, what about the Lord? Well, as soon as I get my job, then y'all can look for me. Okay, so then they get a job and get 1 minute past starvation, and then we can't find them.
Yes.
On Sunday evening, we call all of our members that we don't see on Sunday. We call them. Well, I had to work. I said, and Jesus had to die. Oh, so you going to go there with me? I need to pay my bills. I said, I don't want to go anywhere with you. What I'm telling you is you need to have a conversation with your superiors. Because I know you're the best person on the job, right? Yes, I am. I said, well, if you're the best employee, they need to know why you're the best employee. And you need the opportunity to recharge your battery with the Christ either Sunday morning or Sunday night. And if you can't, you need to find another job. I can't do that. They might fire me. I said, well, then you're scared. Now, that's different. That's different. Well, you ain't never did that. Well, you don't live with me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know about the conversations I've had when I was in the Air Force with my superiors about this very thing, because I too worked 24 hours. But I still had the conversation. And I told them, you will not find a more committed, dedicated person than the person you're looking at. And if you want me to be even better, well, don't even say it. Just go to services, and then whenever you get back, I said, well, thank you. But you have to have the conversation. And you take Jesus with you. I'm so tired of people. Well, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that because I got to work and I got to pay. So where does Jesus end up?
Yes.
You better get up in that sycamore tree.
That's right.
And when Jesus looks at you and when he looks at me, he deserves our best. We must aspire to do what Jesus did, and that is to serve, and then to become who he is, and that is a friend to publicans and sinners.
Right.
Who are the people in your orbit? Is it the beautiful people like it is in Jacksonville? You know, in Jacksonville, they talk about, well, you know, here are the beautiful people in our city. I'm not on that list. Somebody says, yeah, I can see why. Okay, you know, that's fine. But I'm just saying, we discriminate. Oh, this person would make a fine Christian. How do you know that?
That's right.
I mean, Jesus doesn't look at externals.
That's right.
Looking at Zacchaeus, what kind of person would he have made? You saw what the crowd said, but Jesus said, look, you need to come down, man. I need to go to your house. We need to eat because you need to make some changes. Somebody says, well, the Bible doesn't say that. Well, he came down out of the tree, didn't he? He took him to his house, didn't he?
Yes.
And now all of a sudden he wants to give half of his possessions to the poor. Something happened. Jesus happened.
Amen.
Our life either commends or condemns the gospel of Christ. If Christianity is worth having, it is worth sharing.
Amen.
I think we mean well, brothers and sisters. We just don't love well. 5 minutes left? Okay. I mentioned it previously, but I want to close with this comment. When I was reading and praying about this passage of Scripture, and I thought about the anxiety that must have been in Zacchaeus' heart because he wanted to see Jesus, I don't think it ever dawned on him that Jesus would see him. And do you know tonight that if you were the only person on this planet that needed to be forgiven, Jesus would come and die for you? And he would come and die for me. Last night, I dreamed that I took a walk up Calvary's Lonely Hill. And the sights that I saw with my own two eyes could not have been more real. I dreamed that I saw upon three crosses, three men in agony. Two cried out for mercy, but the third one just looked at me. And the hurt that was found in this man's eyes just broke my heart in two. For it seemed that I could hear him say, I'm doing this for you. I knelt beneath the third man's cross and slowly bowed my head. I reached to touch his nail-pierced feet. My hands were stained with red. And when I heard him moan in pain, I lifted my eyes to see that the blood had spilled from the third man's cross, and some of it spilled on me. The third man wore a crown of thorns. Spikes held him to the tree. I heard him say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And there within the maddening crowd, the ones who had mocked him said, King, save thyself if thou art king. And then the third man died. Suddenly I heard the thunder roll and lightning pierce the sky. The third man still was hanging there, and I began to cry. And then I heard the thunder roll and saw the breaking of the ground, and then I awoke. And though I had dreamed, I touched my cheek and found a tear was there where I had cried. A dream? No, this was all true. For I still can hear the third man say, I'm doing this for you. When you come down out of your sycamore tree and I come down out of mine, we need to go because the harvest is white. To God be the glory.